Hello and welcome to All Villa No Filler, a podcast all about Aston Villa, the world's greatest football team. Well, Unai Emery's side proved too much for Luton Town. We take our hats off to Moussa Diaby and Leon Bailey for stellar performances against the Hatters. And later, Frankie serves up a tonsil-burning, spicy question. But first of all, some sad news today. We pay respects to Charlie Aitken, the former Aston Villa fullback. An all-time record appearance holder for us has died at the age of 81. He played as a fullback for Villa from 1959 through to 1976. And during those 17 years, the Scot made 660 appearances, with only three of those being as a substitute. He won a number of trophies with the Villa, including the 1975 League Cup. Aitken ended his career at New York Cosmos, where he played alongside the iconic pairing of Pele and Franz Beckenbauer. Frankie, very sad news today, isn't it, about Charlie Aitken?
Oh, very, very sad. A life very well lived, a man who achieved incredible things, gets to end his football career playing alongside Pele and Franz Beckenbauer in New York City. It's not too bad. I obviously never saw him play, but everything I've ever heard about him is just what a classy individual he was. And I've mentioned before, my uncle, John Dean, played for Villa from 75 to 79. So there was some crossover with Charlie Aitken, and everything I ever heard about Charlie from him was just what a help he was, because obviously Charlie Aitken was towards the end of his Villa career when he came through. And bear in mind, how experienced and how much older he was than my uncle at the time. It would have been, 17, 18. He was a real guiding force to him. I'm not speaking for my uncle, he can obviously say what he was, but that's just what I've heard. And that he picked him up for training and things like that. So clearly just a good individual. A class individual, a class act on the pitch and off the pitch. And you look at people who've played for Villa in recent years, and some of them have appreciated it and some of them seem like they didn't appreciate it. And Charlie Aitken was very, very involved with Villa. I used to see him around a lot at Villa Park through the 90s and the 2000s. And there was somebody who clearly appreciated what Villa gave to him. And I'm sure he appreciated everything that Villa ever gave to him, and Villa always appreciated what he gave to them as well. So a true club legend. Very, very few of them anywhere in the world, and he was one of them.
Well, from great players of the past to great players of the present, Frankie. Villa's 12th win at Villa Park on the bounce today against Luton, 3-1. What did you make of today's performance?
George, honestly, I can just stare into the distance all day, every day, 24-7, 365 days a year, and 366 including leap years, where I cannot physically believe what I am witnessing at Aston Villa. Professor Unai Emery, I mean, I just want to cry every time I think about the guy. It's like the love of my life. He's just, he's walked into a bar and at all times just stood still. And I look at Professor Unai and I think, that's it. That's who I was looking for. Because I spent my entire life wanting a manager who was not just a larger than life presence off the pitch, but kind of did it on the pitch as well with the way Villa played. With 12 wins in a row at home, every player looks so vastly improved under him since he took over. We're now, 10 games into the season, we're 10 points clear of Chelsea, who those dickheads spent £1 billion. We're 5 points clear of Newcastle, who beat us 5-1 first day of the season. We're 5 points clear of Brighton. We're 7 points clear, I think it is, of Manchester United. And we're well in contention for Champions League places at the moment on this current form. There's going to be some really tough tasks to come. And we've got loads of games in December, and we probably haven't played the toughest teams yet, other than, I guess Newcastle and Liverpool away counts. But it's just incredible. And I think that was reflected in the Luton game, where it was just so incredibly comfortable for Villa, like incredibly comfortable. There's not been many occasions in the Premier League in recent years that I think we've looked, you know, uh, capable of just beating someone 7-0 if you really turn it on. And that's kind of how it looked today. Just always felt like Villa were going to win it. Not to say there weren't some late jitters that we'll talk about, you know, in a few minutes. But I think it was just a very controlled, very, you know, to quote a cliche, a very professional performance from Unai Emery's men, you know, and 3 days after a great away day in Alkmaar, those Thursday fixtures haven't yet really seemed to impact us at all, which is amazing to see. So, a controlled and professional performance. How would you look at it, George?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, your love for Unai Emery. There's a film called Big Fish, which has got Ewan McGregor in it. And there's a moment in the film when his character spots the love of his life, and it's at a circus and time stands still all around him, and he's walking towards her and he's pushing static popcorn out of the air because he's sort of like wandering towards this woman. That's how I feel when I see Unai Emery pop up on my TV screen. You know, the Weetabix that Alfie throws in the air at the time just stops in midair, and I just sort of move it to one side and edge towards the screen where Unai's face is just there on the touchline. Yeah, I mean, you said it all there, Frankie. It was a professional performance. It was, you know, expected. But again, we've mentioned this before. Villa teams of old, when they come against teams that you expect us to beat on paper, like, you know, sometimes we come a cropper against them and it doesn't go to plan. But you know, it was never in doubt. It was never in doubt from you know the first minute. You know, Zaniolo probably should have scored with the chance inside about 5 minutes. Watkins should have scored from the, you know, the Luton keeper made a decent save from the chance that Matty Cash fashioned. And to be honest, in the second half, McGinn scuffed a shot. He should have scored. Do you know what I mean? We could have and should have won that game 4-5-1. And the fact that we could be so profligate and yet still be comfortable 3-1 winners is testimony to the team that Unai Emery has already built. And post-match, you know, he said, this is still a long-term project. You know, it sounds like he's very committed to us still and is building a team. You know, it's not the finished article yet, which is, you know, for our opposition, probably quite a scary thought, really, because if this is what we can do with a team that's not his or not quite his yet, you know, what can we do in a couple of seasons' time? So it's brilliant, you know, the fact that already it's not even November and we've carved out a 5-point gap between, you know, Newcastle in sixth is just brilliant. And we're only looking up, as far as I'm concerned, you know. Tottenham are top, obviously. They're 4 points better off than us, but we play them in, I think, 3 games' time. I think we've got Forest November. Next, you know, very winnable game. Then Fulham at home, again, a winnable game. And then we play Spurs. And I think, you know, you mentioned at the start the Newcastle and Liverpool defeats. I think that's what we need to look at now. It's clearly we can beat the teams that we, in quotation marks, should be beating. Now we've got to start looking at the teams like, you know, United and Spurs and you know, Liverpool and teams like that. And even Man City, Arsenal, when we play them and try and see if we can get points off those teams, because that will be the kind of the making of us this season. And that will define whether we finish, you know, in a Champions League place or not. But it's still, you know, very, very early days. A lot of things can change. You know, we could pick up injuries or whatever. But as things stand, we just look like a very settled team, settled off the pitch, very settled on it. You know, as you said, it was a really convincing performance against Alkmaar, who, you know, are a very decent side in Holland at the moment. They were unbeaten at home, I think, this season, and we played them off the park. So it's all looking really, really good. And you know, we controlled the game possession-wise and with chances created, goals scored, obviously. I don't think Luton had a shot on target, did they? I genuinely can't. Because obviously the goal that they scored was some bizarre defensive mix-up between Konsa and Martinez. But
they had one at the end.
But, you know, regardless, they really didn't offer much of anything. And, you can look at Luton's team and say, okay, well, you know, it looks on paper very much a Championship side, but as I said, Villa teams of the past would have come unstuck against a team like that. So just amazing.
You know? And it shows you where we are. You know, just a few years ago, you know, I saw a showing the squad that we played Luton the last time in the Championship. You know, Okoro in defence, Ross McCormack, God only knows why he was worth, always people kept spending 11 million quid on him, honestly. You look at that squad, and that's, you know, just a few years ago. Like, it feels so recent.
It's like a lifetime ago, isn't it? It feels like a generation ago, that team.
And now we're playing with Ollie Watkins and Moussa Diaby up front. I mean, it's an absolutely remarkable turnaround, really. And, I think today, you know, Villa were just largely in control. And I think in the first 10 minutes, I think we could have... There were warning signs to Luton that this could have got away from them very quickly and been a 6 or 7 nil. It was very open. And I think it's because they had two... It was almost like they were playing like a 5-3-2. It was a bit weird. It was kind of like... The two sort of people who were playing out as wingbacks, I think, were getting caught constantly. So they sort of shifted to a 5-4-1. It was got a bit more conservative in the middle, a bit compact. But, in fairness to them, they did manage to sort of limit Villa a bit more after that when they changed it. And Rob Edwards is clearly, you know, a smart coach and has done very well there. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if Luton worked this league out at some point and start to get eke out results that might just keep them up. Yeah. It'd be a great story if they did, because there's a lot of teams down there that are really struggling this season. The first goal, you know, super John McGinn, but super Austin McPhee as well, the Scottish connection. He was talking about Scottish great and Charlie Aitken, and you know that legacy continues in John McGinn and Austin McPhee. And you know, I remember when McPhee took over, there were comments in, you know, from these so-called expert pundits who were saying, you know, we don't need set piece coaches and all that. Well, Villa's set pieces are incredibly imaginative, creative, and highly productive. I mean, they clearly make a difference. Very smart again. Douglas Luiz into Moussa Diaby, who leaves it, and McGinn, who he thinks can hit it with his left, but takes it on his right, bottom corner. Great stuff. Second half, you kind of think, well, Villa, the danger is you're so in control, you can relax, and then you can get hit with a sucker punch. All Premier League teams have the players to hit you with that sucker punch. But so Villa, you know, Emery saw Zaniolo wasn't playing at his best, had a yellow card. Bailey's hot on form at the moment, so brought him on, and immediately Bailey on the right caused a world of problems straight away, working really well with Moussa Diaby, and the movement between the two is lovely. And I partly think Bailey's form is because he's not having to start all the time, but also because he's working with Diaby. I think they just look like a good pairing. But then McGinn goes out left. And both Bailey and McGinn were heavily involved with the second goal. It was a brilliant goal. You know, Villa worked out that they didn't have to. Chance down the right had gone away, so Douglas Luiz holds on to it, and then they work it over to the left. McGinn holds it up, lays it off to Dean. Great ball in. Bailey almost gets it, and it comes to Diaby for a great finish. And I'm glad he got a goal, because he reminds me a bit of Ollie Watkins in the sense, like, all right, he hasn't scored a load of goals recently, but everything he does off the ball is so crucial. He's a proper A-lister. He's a Brad Pitt footballer. He's a Meryl Streep footballer. He walks that red carpet, and he ain't starring in Christmas film duds, you know, that are getting 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Moussa Diaby is the kind of guy who walks home with an Oscar every other year.
Yeah, he's in Paul Thomas Anderson films, isn't he? You know, he's not messing around.
No, not at all. And then the third goal as well. Great ball from Boubacar Kamara, that your CDM can do that. Great run from Moussa Diaby as well. The French connection knocks it back, and Tom Lockyer, unlucky. I think it might have been going in, but you know, just brilliant stuff, just all around. And I was kind of hoping Villa would go on and do a 5-0, 6-0 after that. But we sort of chilled out a bit. But one or two substitutes didn't quite do it for me today. Why do you think that is, George? Why do you reckon?
Why did we sort of tail off a little bit towards the end? You mean?
Yeah.
It's difficult to say. You know, you don't ever want complacency to set in, and I'm sure Unai Emery would obviously not want that to happen at all. But I guess when you're 3-0 up at home and it's 60, 70 minutes, you can kind of understand why they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. And
just
and
a few days after Europe as well.
Yeah, exactly. A few days after Europe, Luton, they did look a bit toothless, and that will be a problem for them this season. It's just scoring goals. I mean, it's always a problem for newly promoted sides to find that bit of quality to in the back of the net, and you know that they're obviously experiencing that themselves. So that's probably the reason why, you know, they want to overexert themselves. They don't want to get any sort of niggles or injuries, because you know, you look at our bench, you know, the fact Bailey came on and was so influential. If you're starting now for the club, you don't have to be too out of form or too injured for somebody to come in and take your place of equal quality. So perhaps, you know, that could have been another sort of factor behind it. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, as I said earlier, you know, Luton, once they got their fortuitous goal, I think they were trying to get maybe a second, and that just opened up gaps for us to counterattack, and we could and should have scored goals. You know, I look at that McGinn chance where it came to him and he just fluffed his shot when so easily he could have scored that one. You know, it's that's the, I think that is the problem for teams against us. Like, if they're chasing the game, I mean, not only do we have the ability to control games now, you know, I noticed, particularly in the first half, very, very patient build-up play going on, where the ball would constantly go out to Konsa, to Cash, to Dean, to Konsa, to get, you know, to Torres, you know, working in triangles, just trying to look for the kind of the movement, and then bang, like, there's the ball, there's the, you know, there's the opportunity. And that's, you know, that's how we were sort of creating chances. And then once we got those goals, then it was a case of, okay, we'll absorb a bit of pressure, and we've got the likes and Watkins and McGinn, you know, because he's pretty rapid and got lots of stamina to get up the pitch and create chances too. So we can work as that counter-attacking side. And I think that's probably what we were trying to do a bit more in the second half once we did get those 2-3 goals. So I wasn't too concerned by it, but I think it was probably a combination of factors as to why we maybe took our foot off the gas. I'm not too concerned, but maybe if Emery is, I'm sure he'll clamp down on it.
Yeah, I think the only thing, I mean, I do not want to belabor negativity or anything like that. I know, you know, people don't love listening to it, but, you know, I think what I would just say is that I think Villa could have won it 4-5-0. I think that in the last kind of 15-ish minutes, so obviously a lot of substitutions happen, so that's going to disrupt the play. And obviously you kind of want to conserve your energy after, you know, playing on Thursday. But one thing I would say is that there's one or two things that reminded me of cup games where we've lost, like Stevenage last year, Everton this year, Warsaw, just things where a couple of the squad players come in and just can't. Well, I don't know whether it's a lack of game time or whether it's just not being able to play the style. I don't know. You know, Dendonka caught on the ball.
Yeah,
he did it against Everton. He did it against Stevenage last year. Caught on the ball on the edge of his area, back to, you know, facing his own keeper, and the Luton player took it off him. And if Pau Torres hadn't blocked that shot, that would have been 3-2. You know, and header as well, just a few minutes before, where Luton should have scored and made it 3-2. It's just little things like that. I just think, you know, if Villa want to be absolutely at the top and elite, I just think the real top teams never allow themselves to get into those situations. And whilst Villa didn't get into that situation, we were quite lucky not to. That's the only thing I would say, I think.
Yeah, but I think basically a couple of transfer windows will sort that problem out. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Dendonka, like, for example, you know, Dendonka isn't Emery's player. You know, he is a squad player as things stand. And, you know, he's a defensive-minded player, so you'd obviously see the reason why Emery brought him on. But you know, and I don't want to blame individual players at all. I don't think you know we should really start doing that. But yeah, I mean, you think if we are going to progress and develop, and we are obviously doing that, that you know perhaps players like Dendonka or other squad players who aren't getting a lot of game time, they will be moved on and phased out, and players of just better quality will be brought in. And then maybe players who are currently first team players will become more kind of squad players, but still have that extra level. So yeah, I think that can only really be solved by basically Emery staying at Villa for a couple more years and building up his squad.
But knowing Emery, there'll be a game in a few weeks where Dendonka looks like prime bloody Clarence Seedorf.
I mean, I don't want to knock Dendonka, because he has had games where he has been really good and solid.
And Newcastle last year, the 3-0, he was brilliant.
Absolutely. So, you know, he does have it in his locker. I think a lack of game time. But then, you know, who's he going to replace in the midfield? It's a really competitive area of the pitch, and we've got some quality players there. So it's really difficult for him to get in and start playing regularly. So, you know, that's his role at the moment.
All Villa, No Filler on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Welcome back, everybody. Now it is time for this.
George and I could get into a Tyson Fury-style punch-up where he lands a blow on the top of my head and I go down and somehow still win on points. In this, the spicy question. Villa are riding high right now, but where can we improve the squad?
Oh, very good question. Where can we improve the squad? Well, I mean, you know, we were talking just now about the squad generally and squad depth. You know, our bench today did look relatively strong, but you know, there's always room for improvement. I think an area of the pitch we absolutely do need to strengthen in, and you know, it's proven obviously in recent months that Emery is concerned by this area of the pitch, because he's now playing his number one in cup competitions is goalkeeper, basically. I think if there's an injury to Martinez between now and January, then I think that will really, really hamper us. Yeah, last season, Robin Olsen was our cup keeper, and you know, there were a few sort of high-profile mistakes that he made, notably the game against Man United, where he sort of struggled with the ball at his feet, and he hasn't. I don't think he's really improved too much on that area of his game. So, you know, whereas other clubs might have a cup keeper, we don't really have one. It's, you know, obviously Martinez is now playing in Europe. You know, Martinez could well play in the FA Cup when that sort of starts to churn through the rounds. So I think that's probably one area that we do need to improve. Elsewhere, I think we're okay. You know, Duran up front, there seems to be, I mean, I've heard kind of online rumours about some sort of falling out between him and Emery. I'm not sure, but if there has been, you know, he's still very young and he's just settling into English football. So maybe you can understand there's going to be perhaps some element of petulance. I'm not saying that that is the case, but if there is, then maybe that's the reason. But when he has played, Duran has obviously done really well. He scored some great goals for us and seems to be a decent kind of deputy to Watkins. So I'm not too concerned about that. Obviously, if that is a problem in terms of his attitude, again, I don't know, but maybe that's an area we can look at too. But yeah, as I say, probably goalkeeper for me is an area. If we are going to compete at that top level, we probably need to have a decent backup keeper.
Yeah, I think we've got some world-class players in a lot of positions, which is just an incredible thing to say about Aston Villa after the years of not having world-class players that we've endured. You know, seeing Ross Barkley at Luton today was kind of a throwback to just a couple of years ago, and we thought that was a massive signing. You know, it shows how rapidly we've moved, really. I think you're right. Backup goalkeeper, obviously, you know, if Emi Martinez gets an injury, very worried. I think Yonderan, who knows what's going on? I think he's shown that he's got real, real raw potential. There was a fantastic goal against Palace. He scored some really good goals this season. So he just needs to be patient if that's a concern at all for him. Not playing as much as you like, but just 19, 20, just, you know, the time will come. Something I would like to see, I think we miss Alex Moreno. I still think we miss Alex Moreno. And a lot of people are going to go, well, Luka Dean's playing really well. Well, he is. He's really stepped up, like, fair play to him. But I still think that when I see Luka Dean, I think I know what he's going to do. With Alex Moreno, I don't think I always knew what he'd do. Like, I backed Moreno to beat a man. Luka Dean's obviously got a great whipped cross, but I think I know what he's going to do. And there was Zrinski-Mostar game where they just sat back the whole time. And, you know, he'd recycle it, Dean. But I thought if Moreno was there, I just feel like there was just a reason Villa's left-hand side came so alive last season. I think Alex Moreno was a major part of that.
And we do miss Jacob Ramsey. You know, the combination of Ramsey and Moreno was brilliant, wasn't it?
And that's not for me to get at Luka Dean. Look, I think he is playing very well. On the and also like a competition at right back. I think that Matty Cash needs competition. I think he's really stepped up. I think he is looking better. I think he looks like a better all-rounded defender. And I think going forward, he looks more confident with it and much more threatening. His incisive passing is better. And I bet it's because of Moussa Diaby. And, well, obviously the coaching of Unai Emery and Pacquiao Estarán. But also, I bet Moussa Diaby's played a part in the right-hand side of Villa coming alive this season. But I just feel that, again, with Matty Cash, there are occasions where I think the best fullbacks can probably beat a man a bit more regularly than he can. His delivery into the box isn't always the greatest. So I just think, you know, you can compete. There could be competition for both left and right back, I think. That's and hopefully players who are quite young and coming through and but ready to go as well. Easier said than done, but that's why Monch has been brought in. And that's why the scouting department has been established the way it has, to find the types of players who might be able to come in and, you know, do a job for Villa for years to come.
Yeah, and, as I mentioned earlier, Emery's still in the very early days of his time at Villa. Obviously, he recently celebrated a year at the club, which has been an absolutely incredible year. I mean, let's not make any bones about it. He's been phenomenal for us, but it's still just the first year. He's still working with the club. I mean, and if you look at the players, you know, a lot of the players that play today and have played over the past 12 months have been players that he hasn't signed. So, you know, he's still tweaking and amending and changing and chopping and doing all the rest of it. So, you know, I'm sure that will come. I think we just have to be patient. I think we have certainly become a very patient fan base with Emery. I think he's earned so much credit in the bank, hasn't he, over the past 12 months? Oh, so
he can live in my house. I'll go sleep out on the road, honestly. He'll do whatever he wants.
He's just absolutely phenomenal. And I'm just excited to see what he can achieve. Yeah, he's done so much in such a short space of time. You know, what is the ceiling for him as Villa manager? It's actually quite, yeah, it's very exciting to witness, isn't it?
I can't wait to see him lift the Champions League. It's going to be brilliant.
It's going to happen. Okay, thank you everybody for listening. I've been your host, George Zielinski. Frankie, see you later.
Up the Villa, George.
Up the Villa, Frankie. It is goodbye from me. We will be back again soon, but until then, come on, Super Aston Villa.